Heavenly Father, God of all mercy and truth, we thank you that you sent Jesus into our world to rescue everyone from sin and death. We confess that we have broken your laws and deserve your punishment. We admit that we have often doubted your promises and your salvation. This Easter season, come to us with the certainty of your word, that we may know Jesus is risen, and by believing we may have life through his name. Bless our worship today as we glorify Jesus as our God and praise you for giving us true peace. Bless also our efforts to proclaim that peace and forgiveness that Jesus gives to all people. We pray this in the name of our Savior. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is the 20th chapter of John, beginning at the 19th verse. I'm going to be reading verses 26 to 29 from the gospel lesson. And after 8 days, Jesus' disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is true. Amen. Dear worshipers of our risen Christ, the songs we sing today, the Easter lilies, the white pyramids all point to the fact that we are still celebrating Easter. In fact, every Sunday is an Easter Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, even during Lent. And since we celebrated Easter last Sunday and today, you and I should be the most happy people in the world. Do we feel closer to God because we know that Jesus has risen and given us salvation? Do we have more confidence in our life because we know that Jesus is risen from the dead and gives us eternal life? Or during this week, did the sorrows and burdens of this life make us more sad? There are the killings in Sri Lanka, the funeral of Richard Mueller, our own health issues, finance, the killings that happened this week, and so forth. Now, we should not paint such a bleak picture in life that we can never be happy. For we have many reasons to bless and thank God for all the things that he gives us. On the other hand, neither must we insist that every Christian must go around with a smile on their face or they're not a Christian, as if the troubles of this life are we simply to disregard. For the world's troubles seek to rob us of our faith and joy in Christ. It seeks to cause us to doubt that Jesus has risen and has given us eternal life. And if we're not persecuted, we certainly can be concerned about those who are persecuted in the world for the faith in Jesus. So in order for us to extend our Easter joy to today and into the future, let us consider our text and see that our risen Savior blesses us. We can rejoice in Christ because he gives us the gospel of peace and he gives us certainty for the hope of eternal life. Rumors about a miracle of Jesus rising floated around the disciples all day on that first Easter Sunday. But the disciples did not believe those rumors. Even when the women came and told them that they had seen Jesus alive, they did not believe the women. Peter and John went to the tomb and found it empty, but they did not believe that he had risen. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus unknowingly told Jesus, "We hoped that he would be the one who would redeem Israel, but he is dead." All the evidence points to the fact that the disciples did not believe and could not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. They never came and stole Jesus' body. For them, Jesus' death was the end. Jesus put an end to their unbelief, their sorrow of heart, and their despair. He simply appeared in the upper room. The doors had been shut out of fear of death and fear of the Jews. The disciples who had been listening to the two apostles who had come back and said, come back from Emmaus and told them that they had seen Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears without any fanfare, with no angels announcing. He simply is there in the room, even though the doors were shut. Jesus could do this because his human nature had been exalted to have all of the attributes of God. Jesus shows the authority of his words when he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So Jesus' human nature is now equal with God. Christ's sudden appearance left the disciples trembling in fear. John doesn't tell us that, but the other gospels do. At first they thought that they had seen a spirit, and so Jesus had to tell them, "Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and blood, as you've seen me have." Then he ate some boiled fish and some honeycomb that they had on the table in order to show them that he truly alive, that his body was alive. Now, when Jesus appeared, he did not chide them and say, "Oh, you of little faith, how slow of heart to believe all of that the prophets had spoken." He did not demand an explanation for all their fears and their doubts and their hiding from death. And he did not demand and require repentance of them for their deserting him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Instead, he simply said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, this was not a polite greeting or a polite wish. Jesus was giving them the peace which he had earned on the cross. The peace that Jesus declared is different from that of the peace in this world. Jesus once said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The peace Jesus gives is the peace with God. It is the peace that we need, that they needed as well. For without the peace that Jesus won, we would still be at war with God, and he at war with us. The Bible says the carnal mind is at enmity with God. And so wars and hatred, oppression, prejudice, and greed will continue in this world for the until the end of time. And we may live peaceably in ourselves, but our human nature inside of us is still at war with God and still hates God's word and his promises and wants to cause us to doubt and lead us astray. It is for this reason that Jesus became man, to establish peace between us and God. In order to break down that wall of anger between us and God, so that we could have peace with God himself. He accomplished this through his perfect life and his innocent death on the cross. Jesus was our substitute, as the prophet Isaiah said. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, Isaiah is not talking about bodily healing. He's talking about the healing Jesus gives us to our spirit, to our soul, as a result of sin. Jesus suffered death in order to bring us salvation. Jesus endured the pains of hell so that we would not have to go there. He suffered our punishment so God could forgive us our sins. And Jesus rose from the dead so that he could proclaim to all eternal life and that he would raise us also. Therefore, St. Paul declared, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." It's this peace that Jesus gives us at Easter, knowing that he has conquered death, that he has done everything to rescue us. In order that we could hear about the salvation Jesus won for us on the cross, Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out into the world. He said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." From eternity, God decided to send Jesus into the world to be our Savior. And so Jesus sends the apostles out to proclaim that salvation that he won. He sent them to preach the gospel to every creature, and they were stewards of the mysteries of God as they used the means of grace to proclaim to all people the salvation and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus then commissioned the disciples by breathing on them and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sin of any, they are retained." While only God can forgive sins, Jesus, as Lord of the church, has given every believer the authority and right to forgive the sins of other people, to pronounce the forgiveness of sins to other people. And we do that especially in our homes and in our private lives. This is the blessed authority of proclaiming law and gospel, to tell others about sin and about God's grace and mercy. When we declare that God has forgiven someone their sins, that is as true as if heaven himself has spoken. And we carry out this authority in our homes, in our personal lives. However, the church has also, and Jesus has also instituted the ministry, a public office of the ministry, in order to do this and carry out this work in a public manner, that is, on behalf of Christ and on behalf of the church and the Christians. And you have called Pastor Thompson to act on your behalf, that is, to proclaim the law and gospel, to administer the sacraments, to absolve and retain sins in a public manner, and to teach God's word. St. Paul told the pastors in Ephesus, "Take heed to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which Jesus has purchased with his own blood." These shepherds were to watch over the faith of the flock, to nurture them in the pure word and sacraments, and to proclaim that Jesus has risen from the dead and gives life to everyone who believes this. The risen Savior has given us many blessings then, that of the peace, of sending out the apostles, of sending out the word and the ministry. All these blessings are ours because Jesus is risen and is Lord of the church. He does this so that you and I can have the assurance that Jesus' salvation is true and that we have eternal life. Recently, a lady, Serene Jones, who was president of Union Theological Seminary in New York, made some striking statements in an interview for the New York Times. And if you will indulge me, I'm going to read what she says. I don't believe what she says, but it is an example of what people think today. "The pervasive idea that an abusive Godfather who sends his own kid to the cross so God could forgive sins is nuts. For me, the cross is an enactment of our human hatred. But what happens on Easter is the triumph of love in the midst of suffering." And she added, "There's no resurrection story in Mark, just an empty tomb. Those who claim to know whether or not it happened are kidding themselves." She also said, "My faith is not tied in some divine promise about afterlife." Now, this is a seminary president of a Christian seminary. She's not a Doubting Thomas. She's not even a Christian. And there are many others who are like her who have this same attitude about Christ and the resurrection. Now, for a week, Thomas had the same attitude. "Unless I put my hands into his side, I will not believe." He was not going to depend upon anybody else's eyewitness. He wasn't going to depend on the many passages in the Old Testament that said that Jesus would rise. He was only going to depend on what he could see and what he could touch with his hands. We should not have a similar attitude to either Thomas or this other person. Can we be certain that Jesus rose from the tomb? We must be certain, because in reality, our future depends upon it, doesn't it? Because if Jesus isn't risen, we are foolish to be a Christian. Everything depends on whether Jesus died for our sins and rose again for our justification. And Thomas was such a foolish person to doubt what Jesus had done. But Thomas was given the evidence, and therefore the disciples being up in the upper room, Jesus appeared suddenly to him and said, turned to Thomas and said to him, "Peace be unto you." reach your finger here and put it into my hands. Put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus insisted that Thomas have the evidence that he needed. And what was his purpose? His purpose was so that Thomas would go out and proclaim, I have seen the risen Lord. I know him. I trust in him. He is the one who has died for my sins. He is the one who lives forever and will give you peace. Jesus wanted Thomas and the apostles to be absolutely certain of this truth. They were to proclaim these facts to the world. When confronted with the evidence before him, Thomas could not doubt any longer. He knelt before Jesus and said, My Lord and my God. Thomas meant that this proved that Jesus is God, that he had power to rise from the dead, that he is the Lord of all. And he would go out and proclaim that message. Now, Jesus' reply to Thomas is meant for us as well. Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You and I are blessed then that the Holy Spirit has caused us to believe on Jesus, to believe this impossible thing, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that through his resurrection, he blesses our lives. God wants us to be certain about our faith. He doesn't ask us to look inside of ourselves or to feel the Spirit someplace moving in ourselves or to trust in what we experience. He wants us to trust in his word because that word is truth. That word is the strength for our souls. That word is God's word. That word gives us eternal life. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And concerning the Bible, John writes in our text, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you have life in his name. Do we believe those testimonies? Do we trust that God can do the impossible? Do we put our eternal future on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and now lives in heaven? We must. Because, as John said, that's our eternal life. What a blessing it is to be able to know this for sure. To hear the eyewitnesses, even Thomas, and know that Jesus is risen. Jesus lives to bless us then. He blesses us in our life. He blesses us with faith. He blesses us with the forgiveness of sins. He blesses us today with the Lord's Supper. So the body and blood, which was crucified and risen for us, is given to us for the forgiveness of sins, but also to assure us Jesus lives. And because he lives, we will have life in eternal heaven. May the Lord bless us in that faith. May he continue to bless us through our worship and through hearing his word, so that we may know him as our Lord and Savior. God grant this to us all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.